KPFA is a progressive center for the Bay Area's progressive movement. There are many distinct pockets of interest that support that momentum. From early on, this needs to be edited. This is not the edited version. I'd hoped it was. CAB wanted to gain a better handle on who the audience was and who was represented in terms of ethnicity, age, gender, and how the programming speaks to them. So they started talking about a community needs assessment from some of the earliest meetings. It was during that same period that they were working on these that attendance really began to decline for CAB, and it began to slow their work down. Over time, and I don't have the timeline, maybe Steve can fill me in, there was an agreement on a one-page community needs survey. And the early discussions involved including students in designing it, you know, maybe getting people who were in the social sciences at the graduate level at the university. None of that quite worked. There was talk about sending it out through the mailing list, putting it up on the website. But by this time, CAB had dwindled to about three people. And the people who were involved agreed on a fairly simple one-page document. So it was reached, and Rose was actually very helpful in helping us dig up the history of a lot of this. It was in a lot of ways sort of based on trying to hammer out some kind of consensus. There were a lot of different ideas about what should be there. And some of my feelings as a new person coming in, again, I can only speak for myself here, I took a look at it and said, wow, this is really inconsistent and I don't know how this does it. And Rose's explanation at the time, and Steve can back me up on this, is that there were a lot of different ways of looking at things. So, you know, it was sort of like, and they say about a camel, a horse designed by a committee. okay, so, you know, in November of 2009, the five people who were on CAB, because there are two new people who had entered, decided to distribute 500 printed copies. And among the places that they were distributed, let's see if it's all here. I know that they went to union meetings that Steve was setting up at the farmer's market. Steve, maybe you can comment more. There was one, they were at the community college at Berkeley City College, and I'm not as happy with these notes.
The survey was already in process when I started working with the CAB, which was in October. They were just finalizing the terms, and the idea was that the people there on the CAB would take the survey to organizations, communities, and networks that they were working with already and distribute it among them. But as Judith has said, that was a time when people stopped attending the CAB meetings gradually. And so there were, I guess, three of us at the time who took the survey around what we were working with. Myself here in Berkeley, Ateano in Oakland, and Yoni wherever he was working, and we brought them together at the last meeting to be compiled. So some of them were distributed in communities. Some of them were distributed in conferences, having to do with certain. I can't remember exactly what one of the conferences was, and I distributed things on mostly from the farmers market. And so the idea now is to evaluate what we get out of the surveys and see what could have been done better, and then do a continuation of it. But the main focus of it is to use our involvement in organizations and networks to get it around.
Thank you, Steve. I'm really glad you're here today because you have some of the background that I have not been able to pick up from some of this. I will also say it's important to say, you know, I am not pointing the finger at anyone at all, but one of the things that Atiano included in her report is that some of the reasons that we lost two of the members who were the most active fairly recently have to do a little bit with the dynamics of the way LSB meetings go and how these things went. That CAB had a report to present at the March meeting this year, and that both Beth and Nancy were there to present it, and that they had asked to be early on the agenda, that it didn't happen. And there was a great deal of tension according to Montiano, and again, I was not there, that resulted from this, and it led to the resignation of two individuals who had really been very heavily involved, Beth and another gentleman, Tom, from the board. They wrote a resignation letter, which I believe you folks have. I have not yet seen it. And there has not, as far as I know, and as far as the members who worked on this report, it's only a draft, no, been a response to that. So it would be really useful to review, for both CAB and the LSB, to review the literature, the the correspondence, everything that has gone in between, and to really see both where the problems are and to try to hammer out some kind of a solution for it. I think this is critical. In a lot of ways, it's more critical than what kinds of questions are on the survey. We can't really work to help supply an assessment of community needs to the LSB if we can't improve communication. And I'm not pointing the finger at anyone in particular about that. I don't have the information to do so.
Okay, Aki, pass the mic to Aki, please.
Sure.
No, not that mic.
Okay, sorry.
Well, as a secretary, I will make sure that the communication between LSB and CAB is.
That's great.
I'll volunteer to make sure that all that stuff gets communicated.
Thank you, Aki.
Good.
Of the letter that was submitted then. Yeah, I will have to ask the people who are active in CAB that I don't have my hands on it, but I will work on being the liaison and getting it to you. Yeah, I think everyone should get it. What I would like to do, you're welcome to look these over. I realized after I brought this that the version I printed out of, I thought I'd edit this thing in Google Documents, and I'm not that happy with it. The version I printed out of the draft letter for next month's report from Montiano is not the one that we had agreed was a little bit more polished. So folks are welcome to look at it, but I say it is a work in progress. I will work on finding copies of whatever was there and make sure that both by email and or by regular postal mail, all the members of the LSB have copies of that correspondence. And do any of you know, was there a response? I have nothing to go on except the person who wrote this report saying that there was none. I don't know. Was there a response from the board, you know, after receiving a letter in March or April?
Okay. Not aware of any.
Okay. Was it discussed at all at prior meetings?
I don't think so.
Okay, well. That's about what I know.
Oh, Sasha.
Yeah, I when you're talking about the letter, you're talking about the resignation letter. What are you referring to in terms of letter there?
Okay. It was the resignation letter, but it had some very specific, instead of merely being personal resignation letters, it had some specific, in the words of the woman who drafted this report, criticisms about negativity and divisiveness. These are all kind of loaded words, and lack of support for and cooperation with CAB. Okay. I have not seen the letter either, so.
Okay, well, we all have.
Okay.
And I think on more than one occasion. And I will gladly fill you in on what that was about. Personally, I think the CAB has to just pick up the mantle and do its work and come to the LSB. I can tell you in brief that the problem was I was chair then. I kept asking for the CAB to come to the meeting and give a report and had a great deal of difficulty with that. And they came to a meeting that was very disruptive. There were several acts of potential violence going on at the meeting. It had to be called, a break had to be called all of a sudden and so forth. And so, yes, they got to speak later in the meeting. So I...
Yes. Be fair in mind, we only have a few microphones. Your point of order?
This is one person's opinion. We have not had any discussion about it. I don't think this is appropriate, and I know that I disagree with your personal take on what happened, and I think it's really unprincipled to try to poison a member's approach who's trying to take the CAB seriously and do her job. So I think this discussion should stop. Maybe we can read the letter as a group and found stopping this discussion.
On what grounds?
That it's her personal opinion, and we're not, we don't have the letter, and we're not informed. So.
So, Sasha, do you have anything to add now?
Brian has his hand in the air.
Why do you feel that the new members of the CAB, because I think it's a fairly new CAB, need to revisit the past, which where there was a problem with the composition, perhaps, of that CAB that no longer exists, interacting with the board?
Okay. Well,
what is your concern about that, rather than the new CAB?
I am interested
picking up and just doing its work and seeing what happens.
Okay. I'd like to respond since that was directed to me, and then I'm real happy to go ahead. How do you feel question is always going to be a little more directed toward any individual than toward the CAB report per se. I am reporting back on what other CAB members have said. I can try to say, as an individual member of CAB who is new to this, that sometimes it becomes important to know where you've been to get an idea of where you're going. I had some real questions about this survey. It's not the way that if someone had come to me, you know, say when I was going to graduate school in sociology and public health and said design a survey, I wouldn't have designed a survey like this. But that's just about me. It's a committee. We need to work these things out. And I personally, speaking for myself, feel I need to know a little bit about the history of what's gone on in order to figure out where we're going. I was not able to attend the March or April meetings because I was in the middle of a move and a lot of personal stuff. I know something about the contentiousness of them. I can't really comment on that because I only heard about it after the fact. But I feel like this stuff gets out in the community. So as a member of the community advisory board, I'd like to have a sense of what the public hears about us. That's some of it. And that's at least as important as the survey. I sort of wish we had more to show you than a survey that had 290 responses. But we can only work with what we have. We can't work with what we'd like to have. We can't work with, you know, we got to live in reality. Not in our fantasies of what we'd like CAB to do, not what we would like a survey to be, not how we would like people who came to a meeting and then resigned to have said. I'd like to know about it because I feel it does influence our work, and I am only speaking as an individual member here. I can't speak for CAB on that.
Okay. Pamela, you had a question?
I want to thank you for bringing this, and I just felt like it actually is a good point that maybe we should have read the letter as a board and at least looked at it and considered it, and I would like to not feel like for anybody on that board not to feel attacked for doing this work and for just bringing up some issues that are pertinent. That's all.
Okay. Chandra has a question.
Two questions, actually. Have you compiled the responses to these surveys?
That's in process right now. Mm-hmm. We have been entering those responses. Again, some of the data were non-conforming, so it's been interesting compiling them. It's far more subjective than is easily squished into a spreadsheet, but we are squishing it into a spreadsheet anyway.
Okay, well, my suggestion is I don't think there's anything precluding you from developing another survey that's more broadened and could be included in a donation appeal to the listeners, as has been done in the past, as long as it doesn't exceed the 1 ounce, because we don't want to cause KPFA an additional expense. But it could be a one-page survey that could be included, and that way you'd get a broader response, and the new group could compile a list of questions and a way to respond that would be easier to answer and easier to tabulate.
I think this is among the things we're working on. I kind of need to remind everyone that the purpose of the Community Advisory Board is not just to survey listeners. But really to find out what's going on in the community, find out who our potential listeners are, find out whether people are still listening to radio, and if so, what do they look for in radio. And so the purpose of setting up in places from the farmers market to community colleges to union halls was just to talk to people about what they listen to. Now, some of you may remember last year, this was a really big point for me. I know that there are younger people who, you know, we're still a somewhat auditory culture. We'd like to pretend that we've gone all visual, but we don't. Teenagers, young adults are always listening to something. They might not want to listen to me or to you or to you, but they're all listening to something. We want to find out what. What do they listen to? Would they be interested in the types of things that we have to offer if we could find a way to reach them? So I think what you're saying is necessary but not sufficient. We got to get out in the community. And again, I can only speak for myself, but as a new member of CAB, I think we really got to put the community back in community advisory board. It's really easy to be advisory. It's a little harder to be community.
Okay. Thank you very much. Warren, you had a question? Okay. Okay. And Judith, thank you very much. And if you could pass that microphone to that table.
Okay.
And now. Okay. Thank you, Judith, and also thank you, Steve. And with that, it's time for the Treasurer's Report.
All right, then. Let's spend 15 minutes checking out the latest financials for the station. I've certainly got enough handouts today. The main parts, the main agenda items in finance are the last little mini pledge drive, and then July financials are in, and I'll give you a quick outlook and budget status. So the mini drive that was planned in July really was a 10-day drive, and it went from late July into early August. And it achieved goal, fabulously, bang on, 100% of goal, just about. The only issue with it is that, as far as July financials go, that we're going to look at here, there is a timing issue, and more on that later. So when I looked at July financials, which were distributed probably during this week, they came out, that it's really nice how early and regularly now monthly financials have come out from the national office. At first, I was shocked to see what happened with July. This P&L. Revenue was sharply below plan and sharply below what I had forecast. And cash had dropped to, you know, scary levels. And I was very alarmed at first and thought, what happened? And especially since the drive went so well. The obvious part, the obvious explanation, is that it's a timing issue. While, of course, in the budget and in my forecast of July revenue, we had just assumed that the July drive was, you know, essentially going to contribute in July, it really spills into August now. Since it happened so late in July and really concluded only in August, most of the fulfillment of the July pledges of that drive are really going to come in August and later. Therefore, there's this hopefully temporary variance in revenue when you look at July. So July revenue was only about $130,000. only about 87,000 from listener support. And in the middle of my summary here, you can see how that compares to the forecast. I mean, total revenue for July, 129,000. I had forecast 286. Originally, the budget was 313. We're 150,000 or so short for July alone. But again, I think this is mostly and primarily a timing issue, and it should simply slide into August. And that's what I've done in my updated forecast. So after 10 months of financials with 2 months to go, revenue right now is at 2.9 million, and we're about 400,000 short of plan. Any questions on revenue or the recent drive or comments? Yes.
Brian, then Henry.
Just on the drive, we keep counting revenue towards drives on the web for as long as we have the gifts from the drive up, and we're at about 280.
Say that again?
The drive actually went over, because pledges continue to roll in on the web for a few days.
Okay.
That drive. I just check the totals every morning because we tell people to keep giving on the air. So good news. Bad news, the drive did go longer than the station wanted or than it's done before in a summer drive. So... And I know I've expressed this to you privately. We can pat ourselves on the back about meeting goal, but if we do it by continually extending drives, we might meet some goals, but we won't have any listeners left at the end. So,
true.
So,
sorry
to be a bitter pill.
No, I know. There is always a downside. But, you know, this has not yet shown up, that issue, which I would be concerned about, too. Like, how quickly are we wearing out listeners' ability to continue, you know, meeting our pledge drive goals, and not yet. I mean, the same concern could have been, was already present after the spring drive, and yet it hasn't quite shown up yet. But obviously, what does show up is that seemingly every time we have to have a longer drive, and so that these timing variances will continue probably. Henry?
Thank you again, Simon. As always, this is very informative. But I have a question. I think this is the most successful fund drive relative to the announced goal, but the other ones earlier this year came pretty close, as I recall. So I'm wondering what the relationship of that fact is and the fact that we're roughly $300,000 short of plan in listener support. Oh, is it just that? Is that just the timing thing? That 300 is mostly once the summer drive comes in, that 300,000 will go away, most of it?
No, that's probably not going to go away. I mean, there's been a variance to plan for revenue in general that has built, you know, over the year, and for listener support as well. But listener support has been running at about 95% of plan, and that's also the assumption I keep using for forecasting. And after this timing variance here of this drive takes care of itself, we should be right back to that, maybe even slightly improved.
To the 90, 95?
Yeah. But, you know, the September thing has another timing issue coming potentially. Let's look at expenses then quickly before we, you know, go into outlook.
Can I jump in?
All right.
Just two things. Listener support's not just fund drives, it's also direct mail and telemarketing appeals. I was just looking at these numbers this week as well. I was wondering if we're doing direct mail campaigns and telemarketing campaigns as budgeted, because the person who used to coordinate them is no longer at the station. It's probably worth following up on your end, because that would produce a shortfall even if your drives are at goal or close to goal. The other thing to keep in mind with these numbers is that because the last fall fund drive pushed further into this fiscal year than planned,
yes,
these numbers actually make us look better than we are. Because there's by about $170,000, because there's more revenue in this fiscal year than the plan calls for from that fund drive. So that would pretty much cancel out the timing variance from the summer drive. In other words, 300,000 behind on listener support is probably pretty close to where we are.
Yeah, there is a potentially confusing array of ways to look at variances like that. It's very easy to get tripped up. In some ways, you know, the cutoff has a lot to do with it. There was a cutoff last year. There's going to be another cutoff this year. Each drive has potentially cutoffs that, you know, cause variances. When it comes down to it, though, the recent three or four drives were within 95% of target or so. And so I think that, you know, that is only influencing really the forecast as far as I'm concerned. Past variances are already built in and really probably best not try to explain them anymore. But, okay. And that item that you said, so noted about the ongoing portion of the listener revenue, although it's hard, honestly, to figure out what that is from where I sit, it is extremely hard. Yes?
Dan's got a question. Then Henry.
Sorry. So, Simon, just to try to understand what you're saying, that currently we're raising pretty much what we plan to raise and want to raise, but we're carrying a $400,000 or so negative variance. And so the question is that whatever you want to call it, negative variance or deficit, is that basically absorbed out of the reserves, or does it mean that we need to make another $400,000 worth of cuts this year?
I think that there are several ways to cut into it. If you look at the variance year to date, you know, by all of the revenue components, like on page 2, actually, you see that, you know, some part of the variance comes not from listener support. And so when I say we make 95% or near on our recent pledge drives, well, that doesn't mean our total revenue is 95%. Say donation income, for example, grant income has been down. Like half of our variance comes from there. The other half probably comes from early in the year. And then there is that whole sort of timing component that depends when you look at it.
No, I understand. Thank you. But I'm looking at page 2, right-hand column under variance,
yeah,
where it comes to a net income loss of 418.
Yes.
So, I mean, that tells me we're $418,000 behind. And, you know, just for purposes of thinking about it, is that absorbed out of the reserves, or does that mean we are going to wind up the fiscal year at this rate with a deficit of $418,000.
Yeah, our deficit year to date is $424,000, yes. And we're possibly going to improve that a little bit. The next page actually has the forecast through the rest of the year. But, you know, there's definitely going to be a deficit, yes.
So, I guess then, how do we deal with that? I mean, does that mean we have
We dealt with
$350,000 worth of bills that will be unpaid at the end of the year, or does it mean our reserves will be cut by that amount?
There are no reserves, yeah. The reserves, if there were any, are gone. I mean, there's $50,000 in the cash account, in the unrestricted cash account at the end of July, and you know what? It's going to be really tense and tight with cash for the next 6 months. Even if we cut costs some more, it's not, you know, this is going to be the hard part of the year, typically. So it is going to be very, very tight as far as cash goes. If things go well, there will be a little bit of cash left at the end of September to start the year, but not in any way comfortably so that, you know, Somebody said, I think it was Sasha a while ago, we are living essentially drive to drive, completely.
Okay, but I mean, I don't, if I'm doing this, tell me, doing this too much. My understanding is if we have a deficit at the end of the year of $350,000, there's $350,000 worth of creditors out there who are not paid.
Oh, no, it doesn't actually mean that. So the deficit here means net income, but it doesn't mean that we have $350,000 or whatever the number is of payables out there. The one item that does not get paid when things are tight like that is central services. And we haven't paid central services in quite a while.
Central services. So does that mean that the national office will be owed $350,000 by KPFA at the end of the year?
I'm not sure how much. Some number between zero and 300,000, yes. It's actually, I don't have the number. Okay. But we're not the only station that works that way, of course.
Right, but I mean, but we're the best, I mean, in terms of our finances. So
not anymore. No, K is recently.
Okay, Henry, then Tracy, then Sharon.
I guess I'm still a little confused. If we're showing a variance of 290,000 in listener support, now, on the one hand, does the actual year-to-date include any of the summer drive results in pledges? Does it include the through July 31st or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. The year-to-date column is...
But only the credit
cards. No, right. It's just what counts as revenue is what was collected.
Well, if as Brian said, the extra 170, whatever it was, carried over from the...
From earlier, right.
From last year's drive that was actually spilled into this year.
Then it looks even worse, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yes.
But so if that cancels out the pledges from the summer drive that are not incorporated into this, then it looks like we actually do have quite a large variance in shortfall in, as I would put it, in listener support, and yet we're making 90-something 5% of the goals on the fund drives. So the only way I can reconcile those two pieces of information, if I have them straight, is that we're actually lowballing the goals on the fund drives, perhaps out of realism, but in a certain sense, it sounds like we're deluding ourselves because we almost meet our fund drive goals, and we still end up with a very large deficit.
So it means this, there has to be another element to listener revenue, and that's what I think Brian alluded to as well, that I'm not particularly highlighting because I'm actually, you know, it's not that easy to get into. What component of listener revenue comes from the, you know, most current pledge drive or all the past pledge drives and their fulfillment rate versus the sort of ongoing programs that are assumed in the plan to contribute to revenue. How much that is, I can't tell offhand right now, and I'm not tracking it at this level, although it is visible. But there is a complicated sort of waterfall of, you know, sources that contribute to a particular month's listener support. It's essentially the rate at which fulfillment is made for past pledge drives, right? So say 60% in month one, 10% a month to, you know, it goes on for a whole year, plus some programs that have to do with ongoing listener support. And I'm not sure offhand, maybe you can tell, Brian, whether for the year how much that is. How much listener support revenue was planned, do you think, that is not pledge drive associated?
I don't recall, but it is broken out in the budget. In the budget, there's expected revenue, for instance, from every budgeted direct mail campaign.
Right.
So it should be relatively easy to call up the station and say, you were budgeted to do a 20,000-piece mailing on March 15th or whatever it is. Did you do it? And try to figure that out. I mean, that's all easily reportable data.
Okay. So either way, I think it has to be probably a significant amount in the neighborhood of a few hundred thousand to a half a million. That's part of the plan of listener support revenue that is associated with that kind of activity. And clearly, we must be behind on that source of listener support revenue. It would require a little bit of analysis to break that out, but it's good for you to actually recognize that. Yes, very alert.
Hey, Tracy.
Two questions and a comment. The first relates to accounts payable and creditors. It came to the attention of the National Finance Committee recently that KPFA is the only station that doesn't accrue its accounts payable. And accruing means you put them into the computer as liabilities, and then when you issue financial statements and so on, it comes out that you owe X amount as a short-term liability. In other words, these are your bills that you haven't paid. So I guess part of it is a question and part of it is a request. Why the heck don't we accrue accounts payable, like really everybody else in the universe? And then the second question is, what do we need to do to get a list of outstanding bills as of a certain date? I think that's information that is really essential for you to do an accurate report and for us as a board to have a clue what's going on. And I think also it would be helpful for the National Finance Committee. Cash in bank is only a useful figure if you understand how much of that cash is already accounted for by bills you haven't paid. So that's number one. Number two is about, and I don't really expect a response on that, but there's anything you can do to look at how we're doing this and how we could do it differently, that would be great.
Yeah.
The second comment is about central services. I mean, yes, we are handling our deficit by not paying central services. We have, in fact, not paid them since April, so I believe that is a six-month interval. So, of course, Democracy Now! Has not been paid, among other things, including our auditor, who is owed a heck of a lot of money. But I just wanted to clarify, the only stations that are paying central services right now are KPFK in Los Angeles, which is paying it most of the time, and KPFT in Texas, which actually has a balanced budget. The other three stations are not. BAI, of course, has not for some time, and neither PFW nor KPFA has been able to do so for much of this year. Again, that means that we have a huge, I believe it was several hundred thousand dollars overdue to Democracy Now! and also a very large figure overdue to our auditor. That is how we are balancing our budget. And Free Speech Radio News as well. About the 2011 budget, it looked like you had some loose parameters here. Obviously, we don't have one. But I'm just asking about the $3.5 million plan. In other words, the assumption is we're going to have total revenue of about 3.5.
Can we get to that? Can we get back to that later?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Sharon.
You're loading up your comments.
Oh, actually, I got my answers. But I'd like to hear an answer about the accrual.
Okay, go.
Yes.
Take that, please.
I noticed that. No, that is a another alert recognition that I also made, and is hair-raisingly bizarre practice that I have no idea how we're doing that or how we're getting away with that. And Maria doesn't really control that either. No, she does not. Maria, in fact, does not really control the station's financials at all, nor does the station. I mean, that's definitely the recognition I get from observing things. And it's very much from a distance, of course. You have to understand that the station's financials are very interwoven with national office activities. Maria is not able to produce financials on her own at all. Certainly not a balance sheet. I mean, she barely is able to reconcile cash. and she does revenue, and she does sort of deal with payroll and things, but that doesn't make up the financials. What happens on the balance sheet is completely like 80% or 70% national office interface and 20-30% Maria interface. That's my read on the situation. And it's so the question of what happens with accounts payable at KPFA, what is the level, is a question that really has to go, for me, to Lavarne and national office. Because I don't think Maria is able to create that or influence that. She does not have visibility to a balance sheet account that would be accounts payable. Like, essentially that, you know, she has visibility only to a spreadsheet she gets from the accounts payable clerk, and that may or may not be reflected that way in the books. And Lavarne's own financials of KP, you know, where AP is listed, recognizes with a footnote that KPFA is not practicing recording its accrued whatever payables that way. So that's a mystery to me too. I'm not sure whether that's dangerous or there's something wrong. It may just be, I'm sure it sort of settles itself out, but it just means there's no visibility to us.
It's a hidden number.
The change in accounts payable is not visible to me for KPFA.
Just as a follow-up here, I just wanted to point out that I have pointed this out for the better part of 3 years in terms of getting an accurate list of accounts payable and where they are on the balance sheet. So this does predate Lavarne. This KPFA has not been accruing its payables.
No, it's not
for years
something
on
she
end.
Started, I'm sure, yes.
I just wanted to point that out. It's a bigger problem than that.
Yes, Brian.
Okay, Brian.
Are you saying these expenses are cash, not accrual?
I have to hope that if there are significant accrued expenses, that they would be recorded.
Okay.
But I don't think there are many, honestly. And if there are,
essential services would be the big one.
Yeah, that's definitely accrued.
Okay. So you think the income statements are good, they're accrual?
Yeah, I think they're close. But as far as Maria recording things, there isn't a lot there that is, that flows through the balance sheet, let's put it that way.
Okay, so when you say you can't, you mean the way the accounting system is currently set up, she's locked out from making the entries she would need to do that?
She refers to her clerk when she talks about accounts payable.
Refers to who?
Her clerk, her accounting clerk, her bookkeeper clerk.
You mean Belinda?
Yeah.
Right, Belinda pays the bills. So you mean in the workflow she's not making the entries, it's someone else?
Yeah, there's a strange disconnect I did not want to explore because, frankly, there are more important things for me to figure out with the 3 minutes I get. But that is a bizarre situation that we should essentially, you know, box in and figure out whether that's in any way how it impacts the financials, I'm not sure. It just prevents good forecasting, though, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and we were getting balance sheets last year.
Yeah, I've never seen Maria issue a balance sheet, ever. She does not have balance sheets. No, they do issue balance sheets once in a while. Now, this is all interesting stuff to me, well, and to him as well. But okay, maybe we should move on.
Okay, and now Dan has a question.
Yeah. So, two questions.
Yes.
One is, what's the hang-up in getting accrued accounts receivable, and who has to make a decision so that the problem that everybody seems to agree upon as a bad bookkeeping practice is corrected? I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be hard to do. What's the problem?
I don't know, really.
Well, whose call is it? I mean, is it just... I mean, does she refuse to do it? Is it just...
No, there's probably more to it. Why don't I give you more information on that next time? For now, I don't think we need to jump on this in such a way as if some kind of material misstatement is happening.
No, I'm not, you know, suspecting anybody, accusing anybody, but it seems like it should be a simple request that would be granted if we just made the request. So, I mean, could you express that it's the feeling of the LSB that we should change this practice so that we can have a better sense of our financial status, and if there's a problem, let us know? I mean, that's...
Yeah, no, that's reasonable.
And then secondly, you know, your whole report seems to underline the urgency of the conversation we were having before we had a quorum to start having budget discussions for next year, because it looks like we have some obviously structural issues here in terms of our budget, and the sooner we get on top of that, the better.
I don't know what you're referring to now, but...
Well, I mean, if we're running at a deficit that is not being eliminated and is not being overcome, to me that seems like a problem in the budget. If I were running my own business, or which I do, or
well,
running
yeah.
a household...
Well, yes, of course we have a problem. I mean, where have you been, of course? Things are barely surviving, right? I mean, essentially, that's not news at this point.
I understand it's not new, but we have a... For this particular LSB, this is our first budget cycle, and it's not like any of us have been in another country or someplace,
right.
But we want to have the opportunity to get on top of it. And so, from your point of view as our treasurer, what will it take for us to do that, and when can we do it?
So, yeah, well, that's a very open-ended question. I can't talk to you about budget meaningfully because I have no relationship with station management. Zero, practically. But I will get to the budget later. Like, allow me to go through the expenses quickly, and then I'll get to the budget.
Can I ask just one follow-up? I mean, I think this is important, so I apologize if it's taking too much time. When you say you have no relationship to station management, does that mean... You know, you go and talk to people, or they refuse to take your calls or converse
yeah.
with you?
I mean, it's essentially extremely difficult to get any kind of ongoing communication with station management. Yes.
Well, what can we do to help you solve that problem?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I am practicing taking the high road very much in this. So, you know, it sounds a little weird, but like everything else, this is weird. This is not like a straightforward situation where, you know, you would think common sense prevails or, no, it isn't like that. It is complicated. There are a lot of people involved, and I have a hard time getting any kind of discussion going with anyone at station management. And, it's no surprise. I mean, we've never had, you know, a report from Ahmad except the one time when he was first appointed. There's definitely a huge gap in communication between the station and us. And my little, you know, piece here is really ad hoc interpretation.
Okay. So but, my last comment is, to me, if anything, this underlines the urgency of hiring a station manager and making sure that we hire a station manager who will actually work with us.
Okay, Chandra had a question.
Due to the dire financial situation, I would like to make an appeal to members of the LSB as well as the general public. Anthony did send out a request for a fundraising committee meeting. And as most of you know, we only had one meeting and only three people showed up. And so there was not really any plan developed for what we, the listeners, and the board could do to help in the fundraising department. And I would encourage another appeal for scheduling another fundraising meeting so that, and I would encourage people to participate. Because I remember last year, a lot of people on the board, can I name a name or is that not appropriate? No? Well, people on the board kept saying, you know, we should do fundraising, we should do fundraising, we should do fundraising. But to my knowledge, there was no functioning fundraising committee last year either. And the situation is more dire now. I am willing to participate in the fundraising committee, and I know Anthony is, and I think Tracy is, but we can't do a fundraising committee with only three people. And we can open it up to listeners. And, we have to do this, folks. We have to. The board has a responsibility to do fundraising, as well as we need to help KPFA now because we want it to survive. I mean, at least I do. Maybe others don't care, but I do care. And and I think this has to be manifested by showing support to KPFA by helping fundraising outside of the fund drives. So please, can we create a list today of people to sign up for a fundraising committee meeting, and then, you know, we can. I'm willing to convene it. I mean, I know Tracy convened one, and then Anthony tried to convene one. But if you give me a list today, I'll send it out and try to schedule a meeting, including listeners.
Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Okay.
Chandra.
Let me try to get through the rest of this. Okay. I'd like to look at the third sheet. It's the forecast. It's the monthly trend. It goes out to the end of the year. It's just good as far as budgeting goes or anything like that. This is a good exercise for you to do. So eventually, I'm just showing here from March forward, and July is in the middle, and then we got August and September forecast, and what it would look like for the full year if it turns out that way, right? You see the revenue we could possibly, if things continue, you know, the way they were planned and assumed and adjusted, we could end up with something like 3.7 million. Maybe it'll be 3.8. Or if there's a huge timing variance with the September fund drive and we collect it much later than we expected, we could have, you know, another cutoff issue and only end up with 3.6 or 3.5 even. That's where revenue is going to end, somewhere in that picture. There's obviously a lot of this, of the remaining revenue is in September. Then look at the middle of the sheet where expenses are and how they have behaved. This is interesting stuff. This is where Ahmad's influence, I think, has been positive. That row in the middle of the sheet is salaries. In March, it was 156, even though that was extraordinarily high. I think February was more like 140 or so. You can see how it essentially, you know, evened out at 130. And then now in August, after presumably some more changes have been made, we're at 120. And I assume, in July, and I assume that's the level now in August and September. So at this level, that level of salaries is actually below what the plan was. And so total compensation follows that as well. That is actually kind of, you know, the outcome of the cost management initiative that I think he's implemented. So when you look then at total expenses in July, like the very middle of the whole sheet, it's about 254,000 total expenses for the month. If that were all run rate, right, if that's like sort of how we're operating the station now at 250,000 a month, then that adds to 3 million a year. It doesn't exactly work that way because some expenses are, you know, occur only in some months, especially with premiums. Legal expenses come whenever they do come. But that is a run rate of about 3 million. And that allows me to transition right away into what I think is sort of a reasonable budget structure or scope. Because I'm just not hearing anything from the station. Essentially, Ahmad, Maria, Amelia, we've had one call months ago. There's been a nearly endless series of commitments that have totally not been held up. Tracy has witnessed some of them as well now. But I did one time have a very illuminating conversation with Ahmad, the one time we really did get on the phone and talked for half an hour. And his picture of, I think, his view is similar to what I'm expressing with the $3.5 million plan. That's why I'm not uncomfortable mentioning that number, because I think that's the number he's working with too. And to me, that's a very reasonable number. The question was, directionally, if you're ending up at 3.7 or whatever million in revenue this year, what are you going to plan next year? More, like growth, or less? You know, recognizing that maybe it's getting even tougher, or the same? And he said, essentially, less. So I think that's a good, conservative, prudent way to go, because you don't want to have an aggressive revenue plan that allows you to carry expenses that you may not be able to afford if you don't make that plan. So it's better to have a reasonably attainable revenue goal and adjust your expense level to that so that you can survive on that revenue level. And if you beat that goal, then you're building assets. So I,
or paying bills.
Or you know, paying off debt, exactly. So essentially, the number 3.5 makes a lot of sense as a target. And I think the board will have very little time, if any, to debate any kind of budget issues. I think in the end, you will suddenly have a budget in front of you. And there will be very little time, if any, to discuss any aspect of it. And really, honestly, you should look at it in this sort of high level. Okay, well, are we growing? Are we declining? Are we staying? If we have a $3.5 million plan, that's, you know, potentially, that's kind of stagnant. Stagnant and not growth. But it's realistic that way. It doesn't mean we can't target growth. We can still, you know, target, make pledge drives or sell, or do quota, at 4 million or something. We just don't want to have expenses built around a higher target. So 3.5 to me seems like a really reasonable number. If 3.5 is the revenue number, it means that probably about 500,000 of that would have to be going to central services, which would leave about 3 million in operating expenses to run the station. 3 million is about 250,000 a month. That's not very far from where we are now. Although I do think, and again to Ahmad's credit, that he does want to cut more expenses to create some cushion. And so that seems like a reasonable thing too. If he can take another 20,000 or so out of the run rate of expenses, then that clearly would be much more comfortable. But so as far as the overall kind of scope of the numbers, that's the 3.5 million plan, I think you will be presented something like that. That's actually all I have to say about the budget right now. We do hope that maybe in September there will be an actual detailed, you know, bottoms-up budget. But, you know, that could just be really painful and drag way into September. The numbers that matter to the board should be what's the revenue direction, what's the net income, and a third thing, how are we going to survive on cash with essentially a plan that would just break even, right? The $3.5 million plan would be a break-even plan probably. And I have no idea what the strategic options are, but somewhere along the line, the foundation or the station needs some kind of endowment, clearly. I think that idea of an endowment should be looked at. I have no idea how to make it happen, but endowments are a reserve. Endowments are what allows you to essentially draw some income, and the board, in my opinion, rather than trying to increase listener revenue or another sort of, you know, more influence on that that we may or may not already have. The board should consider ways, I think, to build an endowment for either KPFA or Pacifica. It would be a good target.